Discussions with Ajahn Suchin in India, October 2007. Recorded and edited by Jonathan and Sarah. Speakers include Nina, Jonathan, Sarah, Maeve, John, Anne, Betty, Christine, Peter, Tom, and Beverly.
When you really understand more about seeing and hearing, that you will have give less importance to thinking of stories. But I said, I'm not yet so far. My panya doesn't reach that.
Why?
But Asan explained to me that it will come little by little. Because I have those accumulations to cling to stories.
We all do.
So we talked about thinking of India, and is India in this or in India in that. I said, instead of India, you can put Lodewijk.
Nina said, oh, instead of putting India, you can put Lodewijk, you can put any topic. And you were saying something yesterday about when there's less responsibility, we seem younger or freer or whatever. What you mean is that because we think so much about that which we're attached to, I think. And
not as much responsibility like before. Yeah, also. I talk about my sister's friend who lost her husband. They lived together for quite a long, long time, never separated, even one night. But then he was heart attacked and he passed away. And when I saw her, she was 20 years younger than before, after her husband's death. 25 years younger.
So yes. She was talking about when people lose someone who they're so close to or attached to, like a father or a spouse or something, and then less responsibility, less thinking.
I think that no one can think that how much we have to do in a day when we have so many things to do about this and that person, like parents and even friends or social. But when there is no concern about all this, then we don't have anything to worry about or to think about as much. So at that time, there can be like a release from what we are enslaved before.
But we feel lonely.
Unknowingly.
We feel lonely.
Without panya, it has to be like that. Without panya.
Yeah, without panya. Yeah. But then panya is not yet enough, you know. You feel lonely.
It's like that. Yeah. Then lonely should be understood as just a reality. Anything which we used to take for self and not knowing the true nature of it. The only thing is to understand it, not wish not to have it.
We can repeat it, that it is not self, but we really don't understand it.
As you really understand that there is no self, then the Sankhara Khanda will proceed on from moment to moment to that understanding as not self. So it's just building the firm foundation of understanding of reality as it is, as not self, the only one way. Because it's really not self, not anything at all. For example, visible object, it is for seeing to see, that's all. Can you get it? Can you take it? Can you really have it? It's just to see or to be seen. From birth to death, this life, other life, next life, visible object does not belong to anyone. Whenever it arises, it does not know that who sees it or not. But whenever seeing arises, it sees visible object just when visible object is appearing. So little, so fragile, so fast, that's all. And thinking move on, always move on from developing understanding of visible object as just that which can be seen. No more than that. Or who think that it's more than that? Visible object.
Well, the way it appears is that what we take for visible object, we think of as being part of...
Because it's thinking.
Right.
Not the understanding.
Right.
No attention to it, so how can there be the understanding of it at all? Right now, is there any attention? through that which is appearing, just is seen, that's all. That's why by hearing and understanding, it will bring time to be aware of that which we don't have to move away to anything, just this which appears as just a reality. Learn to understand that there is no one in it at all. It's just seen. And then thinking all the time about that which is seen as permanent things.
But we can't help it.
No,
we can't
you don't help have it, to help. Yeah. You don't need any help.
That's true, that we have accumulated.
Yeah. But developing understanding, so one begins to understand what understanding is. Mm. Yeah. Mm. Otherwise, one might think that there is other way to think or to do something in order to have it grow. But actually, understanding is moment of understanding.
When you say visual object, what do you mean?
No.
But you mean rupa?
We don't have to call it anything, because instead of thinking about rupa first and try to know what is rupa, but at this very moment, is there anything which is now appearing, and learn to understand that reality as it is, it just appears to seeing. And we call it rupa because it is seen. It cannot remember. It cannot feel anything. So the word nama and rupa can be after understanding it. The quality of it is that which cannot know, cannot experience, like sound. But that which experiences is not self either. But it is, there is, right now. And that should be studied.
So when we think of something that we see, a person or something, isn't that
seeing.
many
right.
moments of rupa and
yeah.
citta, nama,
right.
and rupa? Mm-hmm. So it's really not just one, but many
right.
all
right.
stacked
right.
together.
So we can understand the stacks of avicca, how great it is, greater than any wall. Because we can see the wall which is rupa, materiality, but that wall is that which is nama. It cannot be seen like rupa, but it's so great and so big, which hinders of ignorance.
Wall.
No wall? If there is no wall, it is seen clearly. Clearly, it can be seen or understood clearly when there is no hindrance.
What you were saying about responsibility and thinking so much, do you think this just, what you were saying, just applies to people, husband, wife, parent, those, or anything?
Anything.
Yep. Okay. But all the examples you gave were
in terms of absolute reality. It can be any moment of attachment.
Any attachment. Mm-hmm. It's just that usually
which we call it friend or family or work or duty or anything. But actually, it's the moment of being attached. Is there attachment to the sound now?
Yes, a lot.
Because. No understanding.
How does understanding help there to be less aversion, though? Because if one dislikes it,
why?
There's aversion.
Why does one dislike it?
One wants it to be otherwise.
One doesn't know that it arises, appear, and then pass away in
right.
split seconds.
One doesn't know its conditioned nature.
Like or dislike something which is very short, appearing and then passing away, never come back, see? That is avicca. Not understanding, not knowing the true nature of realities at all. It's so clear, it arises and passes away, but no understanding. As no one at all who hears, who like, who dislike.
Earlier on the bus trip, we were having a Dhamma discussion and we were disturbed by the noise of the horn, the bus horn, because the driver kept blaring it every so often, and he mentioned how it it just is there and then it's gone. And it's the same with all sound, actually.
All dhammas.
And all the aversion. Dhammas. And the sound is not the aversion, it's different.
Yeah.
But we cannot we should not name aversion because we don't know, only that it is nama.
Right.
Because we cannot know yet loba and dosa before the first vipassana jnana.
We can't experience it before then, but
not so clearly.
But we have some sense of the difference between loba and dosa.
Is that by thinking?
Yeah, by right. Conditions.
By thinking?
By conditions.
Yeah. And but we know by thinking about it. I don't have direct experience of the
world. Well, we do. They are right.
I agree with Jonathan. You know the difference.
Yeah, well, I agree that we know the difference. I guess by saying direct experience, I mean we don't. No, we won't have direct experience of
local. Aversion arises before we name it or call it.
Yes.
So no need to call it anything at all.
I think the point is also that the understanding has to develop, so the aversion may not be clearly known as a nama at this moment, or it may be taken for self, but the understanding, the has to grow, because otherwise there will never be vipassana jnana. So it's not like there's no understanding and then there is understanding.
Can there be direct experience of lopa as a nama?
You call it nama, or its characteristic is nama, that we don't have to call it or name it at all. For instance, I think that we are very concerned about whether it's nama or rupa. But actually, it's a Dhamma. Each reality is a Dhamma. To understand its characteristic as a Nama, then you cannot change the characteristic of Rupa into Nama, or Nama into Rupa. Even you don't call it anything, you don't have to classify by name. But its characteristic is different, one from another.
But we mix them too much.
By thinking.
Because we don't know so much.
And not knowing.
Yeah.
The succession of one moment to another moment. But since they are different, how can they be the same in a moment? Since they are different, how can they be the same in a moment?
But the moment is so short.
Even that, a moment of experiencing rupa is not the moment of experiencing nama.
No matter how short it is. I don't have much idea about it.
It's not you.
No.
Not anyone.
No.
Just the understanding or not understanding.
Not understanding.
But you take the not understanding as I do not understand it.
Right. Yeah. And that's wrong. That's the wrong way. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Thinking about oneself instead of knowing that it's a Dhamma.
Yeah.
No one. Not me. Mm-hmm.
When you say the moment of experiencing nama or the moment of experiencing rupa.
Mm-hmm.
I don't understand that.
Okay, now.
Difficult.
Okay, now. We don't have to say nama and rupa at all.
Okay.
But sound is real.
Yeah.
It's now appearing.
Mm-hmm.
There can be moment of understanding just sound as a reality. That's all. No matter you call it what. But when you know later that there are many characteristics like sound and smell and taste that cannot experience anything. At that moment of experiences rupa or that quality or that reality, you don't have to think whether it's nama or rupa, because at that moment the characteristic of a reality is known by panya, by anxiety already. No time to call it or to name it at all. And the more you can see the distinction between different realities, which can be divided into two classifications. One is that which cannot experience. So when there is the understanding of sound, it's that which cannot experience anything. When there is the understanding of taste, it's that which cannot experience anything. We know the characteristic instead of searching to know whether it's nama or rupa by name. But its characteristic cannot be changed from being rupa into nama.
But when it's the characteristic of.
But you see that in the beginning, people start wrongly. They remember the term first, and they try to find out. But actually, it's not that way. To know that it's real, and to know its characteristic, and to know that that cannot experience anything, while the other is now experiencing it, like hearing experience a sound. See?
They are there at the same time, and that makes it difficult.
Without sound, there can never be hearing,
mm-hmm.
but sound is not hearing.
Yeah.
And right understanding can begin to understand one characteristic at a time, not two together.
Yeah.
No matter how many times of sati and right understanding.
Difficult?
Well, you can, even if you have a moment of understanding, you can still follow it with thinking about
right.
it anyway.
Right, because Panya does not know that thinking is not self either. It's just that which can think. See, Panya has to understand each reality so that it will not doubt about the characteristic of reality as no self, no one at all. One citta is not a self. Many cittas cannot be self. No matter what citta it is, no self.
But when you can know the difference between hearing and sound.
How?
No. Because of the different characteristics.
Yes, but how? They are different now, see? But how to know each one as it is, as different realities?
I thought we weren't supposed to ask how.
Otherwise, can it develop without how, but not the self try to know how?
The development of Panya.
The development of Panya.
The development of intellectual understanding.
Yes. With
maybe.
Oh, by what?
Yeah. With awareness.
Awareness.
Yes.
So one knows that without awareness is impossible. Mm-hmm. Because now many realities arise and fall away in split second without being object of awareness. It passed already with ignorance. So how can we trace back and know the arising and falling away of the previous one? But what about this one? Which is now appearing.
The trace back is just thinking.
Trace back is only
in vain.
In vain. You can't trace back, which is why you're always
how
saying,
can you
is it seeing or visible or different?
That foreign object which never come back to be object of experience again.
On the Saturday discussion, Sukhin raised a point and he wasn't quite satisfied with the response. And so he sent a message which we saw this morning on DSG. So I'd like to repeat his question. This is about seeing the Buddha. I don't know if you remember. He said that if one were to see the Buddha, if someone saw the Buddha, there's a high probability that it would condition kusala cittas, including those of panya, either samatha or vipassana, when there is the perceiving the signs of the purity of his citta via speech or gesture, like association with the wise. So he's saying if we were to see the Buddha, or if we had seen the Buddha, it would have conditioned kusala citta with understanding because of the signs of the purity of his citta. Do you have any response?
To whom?
To whom?
To me, to you,
you or right. To whom?
This is the answer.
Or to the wrong view.
Taking it for my understanding, mm-hmm. if I were to see it, rather than... Because at the time when he raised it, my response is, well, when one sees, there's just visible object, no seeing, so everything just depends on the cittas at the moment. Can you say a little bit more? That's it.
Okay. Can you say that again, sir?
Well, we think, oh, how wonderful it would be if we were to be in the company of the wise person and listen to the Dharma, or to see the Buddha, meet the Buddha and hear his talk. But actually, when we think like that, we're just thinking in terms of me and the Buddha and this person, instead of just understanding it's just a moment of seeing visible object, or just a moment of thinking about sound or visible object, and it just depends at any moment whether there's wise or unwise attention, and the rest is just a kind of a whole story about a situation, about this would be the good place, when there's no way of knowing.
Is the understanding of anatta-ness no problem about this at all? Yes.
To repeat, if there's an understanding of anatta, we don't think in terms of if I were in this situation or that.
And conditions.
Yes.
Do you like the music?
Yeah, we like it, huh?
As background.
Sure. This is lovely. Advance the story.
Anything.
There's India in it. There's India in it.
It's natural by conditions. No one can set anything to us.
Ah, the dosha.
Why don't let it just pass away?
Pass away. Pass away.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And like today on the bus, I wasn't even annoyed by the horns. I was in fact laughing about it.
Yeah, I thought this is India. I said to myself.
We were laughing, saying we're going to make an Indian horn concerto with four trucks, and you know, making all the silly
symphony
things up. But still, it was. I didn't feel annoyed. There was no sense of annoyance arising because of that horn. It was rather just acceptance that there's a horn. And okay, if somebody else was upset, then making a joke about it might get their mind, you know, to be a little bit less filled with dosa over the horn.
So we understand different worlds, different dreams about whatever appears.
You have good dream?
Nightmare about horn. See? Who knows? Yeah.
Thinking and dreaming, because sometimes you say how similar they are, is there any sense in which we can say that thinking about what is being seen and heard now and dreaming is different? In other words, that the thinking about what is being seen and heard is thinking that is relates to rupas that are arising, whereas dreaming is just purely, entirely memory and not related to experiences through the sense doors.
Can dreaming be another doorway? Another extra doorway? Or what doorway is it?
Mind door.
I guess so.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But the object, that's the object of dreaming.
It's like the object of thinking right now.
Concepts,
because it's not the understanding of visible object at all. It takes visible object for something like in a dream. Even not seeing visible object, that is thinking about that which is seeing. As dreaming is like that, thinking now is like that. But there is visible object too when it's not dreaming. But in a dream, there's no seeing visible object at all. It's only thinking and sanya. How good sanya is that it can remember reality right now, so it can condition thinking in a dream about this room. It can be, yeah. But not as clear because there's no visible object appearing. This is the difference between the six doorways. The eye. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So if we know that, we can see that we live in the world of dreaming from birth to death, in our own thought, like we live with many people here and there, but actually it's only seeing and thinking, or thinking without seeing. So no difference between we are sitting here in a dream or not in a dream. The difference is only the whisper object appearing.
Nothing interested. Very interested in dreams. He's dreaming every night.
I also dream every night. Yeah.
But about his work.
About anything.
You told me before you dream about the holy places sometimes.
Anything. I don't know tonight what my dream is.
For dreaming is thinking without visual object, without sound.
Uh-huh.
Just thinking.
Just mind or processes.
Mind or processes based on
sanya.
Sanya.
Okay. Which remembers so well. That it can condition such and such story again and again as permanent beings and things.
And we attach importance to having nice dreams or nice thoughts, but actually they're just different stories, different concepts, regardless of whether it's work or the holy places or people or things. They're just different kinds of thinking, not anyone that's better or worse than any other.
As soon as one wakes up, where's the dream, the story in the dream, the object in the dream, like now?
Well, and then we talk about daydreaming.
The same.
Yeah.
No matter day or night.
That's right.
Yeah.
Except while we're daydreaming, there's usually a visual object.
Even though there is visual object, but you think about something else.
Yes, okay.
See, not following the visual object story at all.
Yeah, so this is my question. Is there a difference between thinking about what is being seen and heard now and dreaming?
Uh-huh.
And I think Ajahn said there's no difference really.
When we talk about dreaming or thinking, it has to be dreaming or thinking. Because we don't talk about seeing an visual object. So we just talk about thinking and dreaming. So thinking and dreaming must be through one doorway, mind only.
And we may begin to appreciate that concepts and dreams are just concepts and dreams, so it doesn't matter in the slightest what the object are, because it's all just thinking, usually with no awareness. And in the same sense, when it comes to the experiencing of realities, we attach a lot of importance to what kind of realities are experienced, whether there's pleasant feeling, unpleasant feeling, this kind of thing. But actually, realities are just realities too. So when I asked you after your flight, did you have a good flight? And you said, well, just the same as everyone, just realities. So I think this is what your meaning is, that they're just conditioned and permanent dharmas also. Mm-hmm. So just like the dreams, it doesn't matter whether they're dreams of the holy places or dreams of work. So too the realities, whether it's seeing or hearing, pleasant feeling, unpleasant feeling, understanding, ignorance, they're just different impermanent realities. So in that sense, everyone's had the same kind of trip, experiences through six doorways.
A moment of thinking, or 2 moments of thinking, or 100 moments of thinking is still thinking.
It's still just thinking.
It seems to me dreaming is just one type of thinking. That's it. It's just another type of thinking. To talk about the difference between dreaming and thinking, I'm not sure what.
The point of the questions is sometimes we call thinking and sometimes we call dreaming.
Mm.
Because in a dream there's no actual seeing and hearing.
Ah,
but the sanya remembers like there is seeing and hearing, but actually it's only thinking by sanya and other jyotisikas. Like now, exactly like now. If we extinguish the distinguish the seeing from the thinking, it is the same, exactly, because seeing must be just seeing, and thinking is thinking. But when they come together, it seems like how this is thinking and how that is dreaming. But actually, thinking is thinking, no matter after seeing, hearing, or No matter there is no seeing, hearing, but there can be thinking.
Or when there's a, which is a dream, when there's no seeing. Mm-hmm.
So when you said to me, just the same for everyone, this is what you meant, just mm-hmm. six doorways and just...
Are different from anyone.
Sorry?
Are different from anyone.
Still just six doorways, yeah. Mm-hmm. Because it's only when we think in terms of me and you and people it seems different, mm-hmm. but actually in terms of realities it's just experiences through six doorways for everyone. Like you were saying about the development of metta, one appreciates just the same for everyone, just different dharmas, no people, then that is the condition for more metta to grow. But on that point, on the metta topic, and how when one appreciates, oh, it's the same for everyone, no person, just realities through six doorways, this is the way that it's broader, not this person or that person that one's concerned about. But coming back to the question I asked the other day, for those who develop samatha without understanding of realities, for example, those who attained jhanas without any development of satipatthana, one reads that it's very broad or very universal, but still you're saying that without development of understanding of anatta, not so broad.
We have to understand the difference between samatha and vipassana. Sariputta is the foremost in panya, and Moggallana was the foremost in samatha and samadhi.
Yes.
They are different
accumulation.
So when we talk about samatha bhavana, the person who develops metta greater and greater, broader and broader, we have such very broad metta, more than the person who is aware of our reality in different aspects, because that is the aspect of developing metta, and this is the aspect of developing panya. Mm-hmm.
So broader in a different sense, uh-huh. broader in the sense of highly developed
object.
Calm and from that object,
yeah.
but not broader because of not the understanding of anatta.
Because you see the person who develops samatha so broad, still have the idea of self. Mm-hmm. But the person who has understanding of realities have great panya that can eliminate the idea of self. This is the difference between panya and kham sangok.
But some people don't understand when there is more understanding of anatta, there is more metta. We often get that question.
In different aspects.
Yeah.
Because with panya, one can see that every people are exactly the same. Seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting, touching, and thinking, all that, no one at all. But the person who developed metta doesn't understand this, so they have metta with the idea of self. So we shouldn't mix them all.
No. But can there be more metta or pure metta?
Instead of thinking about that, why not understand the different aspect of panya and samatha? Instead of trying to match or to think what will be broader.
But could you explain that when you understand anatta, no person, there can still be a lot of metta or even more metta to people?
Depending on conditions.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. As the understanding makes it like that?
Uh-huh. Understanding can understand all realities as anatta.
You don't take the metta for self, mm-hmm. so it's pure.
Why do we think a lot about person or being instead of knowing or understanding realities as realities?
But will this enhance metta, more metta?
Would you like to have more?
Well, this is a question people ask.
Do we have to answer all questions?
We try.
Not me.
Well, let's put it this way.
you've said before that with the development of Satipatthana, the metta is enhanced or broader because it's not limited.
In the sense of no self.
In the sense of no self, because then it's not just for this person or that person, because there's the appreciation.
In the sense of panya.
In the sense of panya, that there are just six doorways.
Not on the aspect of broad and broad and broader objects.
And on the question of foundation the other day, you were saying you can't say for those with the accumulation, jhanas, foundation, because any dharma is foundation for development of vipassana regardless. But then later you said the paramis are the foundation. So on the one hand you were saying any dharma is the foundation, but then you...
Any akusala dharma or what? When we talk about one thing, we should mean what we are talking,
yes.
Not covers akusala. Otherwise, even akusala can be foundation for...
Well, in the first sense, I think you were saying that any dhamma can be the foundation for satipatthana, because
means
any dhamma can be the object of understanding. So in that sense, it is the foundation. Yeah. And then later you said, oh, well, actually... the paramis are the foundation. So this is in another sense.
Right.
This is in the sense of the condition for understanding to grow. So,
for example, we can say the seeing can be foundation, which means object of satipatthana.
Yeah.
But without parami, can satipatthana arise?
No, it has to develop with it. I just mentioned that because I wrote a summary of the discussion to the list, and I wrote, oh, any dhamma can be the foundation. Then one line, two lines low, I put, oh, the paramis are the foundation. So when Jonathan read it, he said, I must have, it's not clear.
Must rest with understanding.
So metta is one of the paramis. In that sense, we can explain it.
Or kusala dhammas.
Or kusala dhamma, also metta.
And we've had one or two comments that have come up about hiri, as in hiri otapa, hiri meaning shame, that the development of detachment is, it's actually hiri that becomes detached, because in the past you've always said, oh, it's panya that becomes detached, but the other day you were saying actually hiri that becomes detached when one sees the shame or the danger or the harm of akusala. And there's also the reference the other day to actually how hiri and otapa can also be balas in some classification. Would you talk a little bit more about hiri becoming detached and hiri becoming a bala?
Even in the beginning, all kusala dhammas detached from akusala dhamma. And when it develops, it depends on which one grows to that degree. Because now it's the hiri, shameful of not interest in understanding realities. See, that is one level of hiri. But should it grow or shouldn't it grow to higher understanding and more hiri or higher hiri? Hiri, not to really understand reality which is now appearing, or just learn to understand how many cittas and how many cetasikas.
No, it has that's to really grow to see the shamefulness of akusala in this moment. Because we may appreciate the value of understanding now, but then much of the time we're just lost in those dreams and stories, and there's no hiri that sees
so
the shape.
Hiri is hiri, no one.
Yeah.
It depends on when it arises.
It has, how it develops.
We talked about no India in the Bhashan.
No India?
Yeah, and Acharya explains very well. But it's, I was so afraid that I would forget. I could not take it. There was so much noise. And I said, well, instead of India, we can put Lodewijk.
about attachment.
And
you
think you could know Tom, no Beverly, not just know Lodovic, see?
Well, I found it so helpful that you said, I repeat that when you really understand more seeing and hearing as a Dhamma, you have less, you give less importance to think about concepts or story. Lori doesn't like the word stories, I should avoid it.
Sometimes in talking about the paramis, it's said that equanimity, upekkha, I think in the book Affections it says it's the hardest to practice, upekkha, equanimity. I have two questions. One is, why is it the hardest to develop? Can we actually talk about practicing perfection?
Unshakable.
Unshakable.
Understanding and kusala. No matter what situation it is. With right understanding. Like last night or yesterday, see? Unshakable?
When something bad happens, when plans go astray, is it right to regard these situations as a test of our...
Any moment.
Not just that. Yeah. So,
moment of pleasant feeling and pleasant feeling.
Right.
But I think if you regard it as a test, it's implied that somebody else is setting up a test. I mean, where's the test come from if you regard it as a test? Come on. Karma and Vipaka as being the test, right?
Mm-hmm. Well, it's time to know oneself how much understanding one has about realities. Mm-hmm. Like now, any moment.
Mm-hmm. So not just moments. So
In India, we talk always about tests, don't we? And that we don't pass it.
That, for me, is just an example of how much we set up expectations and the ability to control what's happening and how strong that sense of self is, that we can meet expectations and control what's happening. And I think maybe on these trips, we're tested a little bit more on that one, in the sense that becomes more evident look at that we don't have any control.
We're not now in yesterday moments, but now there is hearing and sound. Okay. How much understanding is there?
I think one thing also is that we tend to think of being tested when circumstances are difficult, like last night, or with long waits, or when it's a real call for patience. So we think of those as tests. When things are very easy and sabai, we don't really think of it as being a test, but actually it is a test because of all the lobha.
Exactly.
We're not so concerned about developing upekkha.
But I think our whole life is a dream because that moment is gone.
Yes.
It's constant.
Yeah.
Just this reality is now, and then if you think about it, it's gone.
Mm.
So we're living in a dream.
There's a test. But the test is, as Nina just said, it's really karma and vipaka. That's the test. In any case, all case.
Or the test to panya, which make one understand how much panya one has, or very little panya one has. At any time when awareness arises, it's time to really understand.
Just following Bev's comment about life being a dream, that some moments are more of a dream or less of a dream than others. Mm. If there's painful bodily feeling, for example, then there's no dream
So there's no dreaming aspect there, is there?
What about seeing? Is it different from painful feeling?
That's interesting. Is seeing different from painful feeling?
Painful feeling is gone. You know, one moment it's there, the next moment you're thinking about it.
if it's a body ache, if you've got a constant.
I had the bottle on my head in the bus.
That was just a flash. I don't know.
A bottle fell on your head?
Yeah. Oh, but only plastic.
Oh, okay. Luckily it wasn't
empty. And empty.
And it was empty.
It's a dream when you take it for permanent realities.
Right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's right. That's the dreaming aspect, isn't it?
When you take it for permanent realities.
Yeah, taking it for being.
You dream that it's permanent. Actually, it's not.
When you take it as something happening to me, it's already dreaming.
I am. See, thank you. No, I.
I have a question that's just arisen in my mind from this. Let's talk about painful bodily feeling, like severe painful bodily feeling, that for which doctors and hospitals are happy to give you medication to help you. The painful bodily feeling is being altered by some sort of medication, perhaps a narcotic, whatever. What's... I guess, is it Kusala Vipaka to...
To have the right medicine.
Yeah.
Connecting with dream?
Dream?
The story is connected with the dream or no?
Not real.
Well, the pain is... pretty real.
Now? Where is it?
Oh, it wasn't, but it was.
Yeah.
But when it happened?
When it happened.
It was very.
Not as long as you think. So it's a dream that it's so long.
But it was many, many moments.
Right. Very, very short.
Very, very short moment.
Just one moment.
Right.
At a time. Never come back. Like a dream that never come back.
Right.
What you dream is not real at all. What you get in a dream, when you wake up, where are those things that you think you get? It's like now. Where are those things that you think that it belongs or it is something? But where is that now? Just appear and then completely gone.
Okay. But I see that, but I'm going to persist with this funny little question, because I find it interesting, which is the taking of pain medication to ease severe pain, which...
Medicine, you think about doctor, but actually, what reality is there? And that is dreaming about medicine and doctor, medication.
Then you take the medication and you don't feel the pain. Anymore.
Because you take it as something stay permanently.
Right. So the reality
is like what you get in a dream. Mm-hmm. You cannot find it anywhere. Just when it appears, then it's completely gone. What is left is thinking it's so real that it's always there. So it's like something you're dreaming about, searching for that which is not permanent at all.
And of course the medication will only be effective if you have the karma for it to be so.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. No, I'm trying to think of, you know, pain following heart surgery and the whatever's happening there, because you know it's like I'm finding myself thinking of you know, the sila and no intoxicants. No, not taking intoxicants.
That wouldn't apply to medication, would it, really?
No, it probably doesn't, and yet it does the same thing to your mind.
Yeah, can do.
Can do the same thing to your mind, and I'm just...
But you're not taking it for the effect it has on your mind. You're taking it for the pain.
Right.
Yeah.
But does the motivation matter? In other words, the outcome, if you're delirious from taking pain medication, your mind is not clear.
Are we now not in a dream that we are talking here?
The visible object is here and over there in the glass.
But the enlightened person also thinks of being here having a discussion too.
Mm-hmm. All conditioned realities are impermanent.
But I think the intentions are very important, because if one's taking medication, it's like taking food, isn't it?
Yes. What if somebody's taking something like an antidepressant?
It's also
thing?
Like taking food, I think.
Yes.
Do you have any comment about these medications like she had to take before?
Only in a dream of thoughts, thinking. Can we really find Khun Anh?
Pardon?
Can we really find Khun Anh? See? A dream, or like we can find her in a dream.
A dream about Anne and Anne's surgery that happened, and Anne's treatment.
Well, I found myself at the time actually thinking about my hazy state.
Thank you. Think it's so real, and it's so real, and everything is so real. But actually, when it comes to absolute reality, nothing can be considered as permanent and at all. So where's and actually? There's no and at all. But in one's dream there is always I am and. Yes.
I know what the other thing Sukhin mentioned in his letter was that after the discussion on Saturday he went and had coffee with the two men from Mexico. And they're very interested in Abhidharma, but when he was having the discussion, they, like so many, many, many other people, are very convinced that they have to understand posture and changing posture. And people don't seem to appreciate the postures are just dreams, are just concepts, that there are just different realities appearing. So people have this idea of trying to understand postures or be mindful of postures, and when they read the texts about changing postures, it always seems to be an idea of a whole or of something, or some idea that posture is reality. How can so many teachers misunderstand what is said about postures in the text?
The accumulation. No wise attention to really investigate the truth of what is heard.
Because it's so clear when one reads the Abhidharma that only tangible objects experienced through the body sense. There are no rupas called posture, no rupas of posture.
It seems like they do not get anything from their study Abhidharma at all, because they don't think what Abhidharma is reality, which is now appearing. To them it's in the book with numbers of Cetasaka and different division like Ayatana and Patijasupata and so forth. They like the classification of all dhammas instead of knowing that what one studies is this reality which is appearing.
That the development and practice has to conform with what one reads about.
So when you have heard about the postured practice, Rup Nang, okay, what do you think about that?
It's a concept.
So you didn't follow?
No, never.
I see. Have you discussed this with your friends?
Yes.
They have different understanding.
Meditation with other organizations, then they focus on that sitting, walking, meditation, something like that.
Breathing,
yeah.
I think for those who haven't studied Abhidharma, it's quite easy to understand, but for those who have, those teachers who have studied a lot of Abhidharma, when they read about the reference to posture or Iriyapada in the text, then it should be apparent that these are concepts, not the rupas that are experienced.
And for those who understand, but for those who do not understand, they are blinded. They cannot see or understand what the teachings mean at all. At moment of seeing, what position is there?
Eyes open.
The posture of the eyes.
Open, that's right.
Actually, that is not the development of understanding seeing. Yeah. And not the understanding the rupa which is seeing. So it's thinking about.
No posture at all at moment of seeing. Not even eye open posture.
Because you see that if there is still the idea of I have such and such posture, it's I all the way. I close my eyes, I open my eyes, I'm sitting, I'm walking, always I.
We were saying at the beginning that seeing and visible object are just dhammas, and everything else, the story that we build out of that, is the dream.
Because it's only thinking, not seeing.
And so life is really only dhammas in reality.
Not permanent.
Not permanent. Mm-hmm. But for us, because of accumulated, I suppose, ignorance and wrong view, it's the story that is always present and never the dhammas.
Until one hears about the teachings.
When one has heard about the teachings, there can be understanding at an intellectual level about dhammas after a long time, in my case anyway. How does the intellectual understanding, I know it helps the direct understanding, dhammas, but it seems that this is so difficult to...
It is.
I think occasions such as this help a lot, because one tends to get a better idea of what is meant by dhammas at such times. But then it's like getting up and everything falling out of the lap. The rest of the time it's not apparent. Is that just a reflection of the weakness of the development?
It's thinking. Why? Because no matter how long you think about that, it doesn't affect or give any understanding at all. But when you understand the difference between seeing and thinking, then it will condition better understanding about these two.
And of course, the thinking itself is just a Dhamma, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Not seeing, but it's Dhamma.
Yeah. Another thing we were discussing in the bus on the way here from Delhi was how much importance we attach to thinking, whereas in fact, most of it's quite useless, isn't it? But the thinking, of course, goes on continuously.
Until Panya develops.
No, you said it's a waste of time thinking.
It doesn't depend on what you're thinking about.
Or thinking.
Yes, but if, I mean, there's you know, if we're talking about developing initially an intellectual understanding of the Dhamma.
Right.
That can't be a waste of time.
That's this kusalachitta.
Yeah.
Right thinking.
No, and I'm not suggesting that every moment of sitting here discussing it, there's kusalachittas.
No.
But you know, when there are, that's productive.
Right.
But other thinking, in terms of knowing Dhammas and knowing the absolute truth, to say that thinking is a waste of time. That's, yes. Well, that's what I mean. I mean, thinking is something we do to live our lives. It's kind of like we have to eat to stay alive, and we have to do some thinking to navigate ourselves through the world. But with no understanding, it's not valuable thinking in terms of
because
leading
it's
to the
development. Accompanied by lopa and dosa,
yes, yes,
and avijja. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, even apart from the useful thinking that goes on, there's a whole lot of useless, totally useless thinking. Because you don't need to do that much thinking to navigate through life.
No, you don't. You don't, but thinking is going to occur. I mean, it is a naturally occurring phenomena until we develop enough banya that we're knowing moments of seeing, hearing, you know, sound, sight, etc. There's going to be a lot of thinking, and even when we know it, there's going to be thinking, but it's the development, the understanding of what it is.
With or without?
Well, with is the idea.
Then if you can condition higher panya.
Yes, yes. So I guess we say all other thinking is useless in that it's not going to condition higher panya. But thinking is going to happen. It's not going to stop happening until...
Do you have intention to stop thinking?
No.
So it's all
right. Right.
Because it's uncontrollable.
It won't happen. it won't happen.
No, I see your point about the usefulness, but I think the comment about it being useless was in relation to the usefulness that we give to it, which goes far beyond
in comparison to panya, right? I mean,
We think it, our thinking is important.
Oh, we do.
Yeah. It's not really. Well, of course, it's necessary to live, but it's not important.
Mm-hmm.
So we don't have to think about thinking because it has to be conditioned at any time. No one knows what be the next thinking moment.
And it will go on.
Mm-hmm. So you're not worried about thinking. You are not worried about thinking. No question about thinking.
No questions.
No question, because no worry about it. One thing that one usually does not realize is that one is always thinking. Even right now. Are you thinking? It's like very shocking question, because no one thinking about thinking at all. That it thinks after seeing, after hearing, after the other Dharma.
It reminds me of some of these meditation practices. But one of the goals is just
Nothing.
How? Because after seeing there is thinking.
Oh, I know. I don't.
All the postures. Focus on the postures and then stop thinking.
They know just part of thinking, but they don't know thinking after seeing at all.
That's right. They don't know. They're all concepts.
Esther is thinking after seeing, there can be awareness after thinking instead of thinking.
Yes.
When Panya develops.
Panya develops.
In terms of practice, when people tell you I do this or I do that, it seems that there should be a question one would ask about, is this leading towards understanding no self? Or is this leading towards understanding realities? I mean, is there not some test, you know what I mean, that to say, is this practice?
Could they explain what they are practicing? What are they doing when they use the term practicing?
I don't think
I'm not sure cause and effect. I mean, they could say this does that.
Why?
But it may not affect. Bring that result.
It doesn't matter, but what they are practicing, the method, what are they doing when they use the term, I'm practicing?
I can't think of any exact expression they use, but you know, people say the term, I'm studying vipassana, you know, meditation.
Yeah, but what vipassana is, see, no understanding. So they use the term that they don't know. At all. But they think they know.
Or life in this meditation, but they don't know the real meaning.
We're doing it for calmness. Like I think a lot of people who meditate don't think that they're looking to know absolute realities. That's right.
Reality at that moment at all. Because they are doing, practicing. Always I and doing something.
If somebody sits and meditates on their breath for weeks and years, they will
many hours a day.
They will get very good at concentrating on their breath.
Maybe.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm just saying, you know, that may be their goal. I don't know. Then they don't think about.
They are attached.
Yeah, that they may attach to that.
There are two paths, right or wrong. See?
Just come back to one question about equanimity. I said there were two parts to the question. One was in what way it was the hardest to develop, and you said about the to be totally, I've forgotten the word you use, steadfast in all circumstances. And the other I mentioned was, can one refer to practice with regard to the perfections, or better just use development?
I see that it indicates the steadfast panya too.
To, yes, together with it.
Mm-hmm.
Because without steadfast panya, then there's no way there could be steadfast upekkha.
Did Ananda move by the death of Buddha?
Yes.
Did yes.
See?
Yes.
Mm.
So not
and Arahata?
No.
No.
See?
That's the difference. Mm.